Hey everyone, I'm Dave Sandell.
And I'm Caleb Gardner.
And this is the Best Album For podcast, a podcast where we talk about the best album for a high-speed chase. Caleb, have you ever been in a high-speed chase?
I've been in several, Dave, and the music really made the mood. So I'm really glad we're talking about this.
Made the mood in the sense of you picked the wrong music or you picked the right music.
If you pick the wrong music, the coppers are going to get you. And if you pick the right music, you'll get away with it. I think that's the rule.
Okay, so the high-speed chase that you imagine in your head is with the police. This is a question I had. I think there's no version of my life where I would be running from the police just because of my privilege, I guess. But
chase is baked into the name. So either you're chasing someone or they're chasing you.
But it could be another person like who wants to get me.
Yeah. Yes.
Right? So I have to lose them somehow. Yeah.
So this is like a Dukes of Hazzard situation. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yes. That's right. I think my mind is closer to Dukes of Hazzard. But of course, the first thing I thought of was police, because every high-speed chase scene that matters in the history of cinema is with the police.
Yeah, that's what I definitely thought of. Honestly, it was the OJ chase scene, for some reason, is still like the pinnacle of chases.
That one was so slow.
I know, it was so slow and it was so boring, but I don't know why that is stuck in my head as like...
Interesting.
I think it's because it was on TV for so long.
It was. I remember watching it in real time. Did you watch it in real time?
Yeah, part of it. This was a pivotal moment for people in the 90s. This is definitely us dating ourselves, but I remember it being a huge deal. It was.
I remember thinking, why aren't they just pulling him over? And I guess the whole idea was that he was gonna off himself. Is that right?
I don't even remember.
That was his threat.
I don't even remember the conclusion of it, honestly. I just remember it being on TV for like
hold into his mom's
a long
house.
Time, and then I couldn't watch my shows.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the All-Star game, right? I think it was during the All-Star
Something
game.
Like that.
The NBA All-Star game. There was a whole documentary about all the 100 crazy things happening that night that OJ chose to run.
That then That's didn't really get to air because they were, I don't know.
So I have no interest in relitigating the OJ trial, but I do have
Isn't this the best album for relitigating the OJ trial? Is that, you didn't introduce that.
That would be a very different soundtrack. NWA? I don't know. What's the best album for that?
Yes, let's definitely talk about the OJ trial in NWA. Seems very appropriate for us specifically to discuss and dissect that.
What is the fastest you've gone in a car and what were the circumstances?
I think the fastest I've gone in a car is 80 miles an hour. And the circumstances was my uncle showing off in the middle of the countryside.
80 seems so slow to me.
Really? Have you gone faster than that?
I've accidentally gone like 95 on the
highway. Oh, really? Just like not paying attention? That's funny.
Yeah.
I don't remember. You know,
I'm like, the car feels a little out of control. Oh, I'm going 95. That's why. Let me slow down.
Actually, now that I think of it, I don't remember. I was probably 11 years old, so I actually couldn't tell you how fast we were going. We were probably going faster than that, but it just felt really fast at the time because he was like gunning it, trying to like show off this new car he had bought. But I actually remember there was one time where I was driving with someone in college between Oklahoma City and Tulsa, as one does. And she was really anxious to get to an event and was worried that we were going to be late. And so she was gunning it up to 90. And I remember it because I was so paranoid that my father, who's a state trooper, would be the one who like pulls us over, or one of his friends would. And then I wouldn't hear the end of it.
So the country driving, did that end okay?
Oh, yeah, it was fine. It was just like one long stretch of road and he got a gunned it and then, you know, slowed down by the other end.
One of my friends had a beater car in high school, and there was a stretch of road where if you went fast enough, you would kind of lift over it. It went down. So we did that a few times in the beater car, probably in my car, too. I remember the wildest moment I ever had in a car. I don't know how fast we were going. I doubt it was actually all that fast, but my friend Justin and I were driving down a country road because he lived out in the country, and it was the middle of winter. It was very icy. So we were on like kind of an icy gravel road, and he was like screwing around like, oh, I'm going to go fast, you know, swerving the car a little bit. And I was like, okay, stop, please. And then suddenly, I don't know if we just hit a patch of ice or what, but the car lifted up in the air and turned,
oh my God,
in my memory, turned parallel to the ground. Like, I don't think that's true. I think it was probably not that steep of an angle, but we were in the air at an angle. And it felt like slow motion. My memory of it is slow motion. I remember going in the air, freaking out, and then suddenly landing like with a thud, you know, and like, well, actually two thuds, is like a thud thud because the car hit at an angle and then went back down to its normal thing. And we just started laughing, like laughing as hard as I've ever laughed. I think out of relief. Yeah. I don't think out of like, this was actually funny, but just like, oh my God, we're alive.
So there's research that shows like your nervous system goes from like stable to fight or flight and then comes back down.
Oh, no.
And actually it's that coming back down. People will laugh, cry. Like it's part of that release of the adrenaline and like release of that stress cortisol that's been up in your body for a traumatic experience like that. So it wouldn't surprise me if you were laughing like that.
Yeah.
I just love, let's just tell more stories about how we both obviously grew up in super rural areas. Next, we're going to talk about the cruise or chewing tobacco. What other topics?
Did you just say the cruise?
Oh yeah. Did you not have a cruise?
What's a cruise?
Oh my God, Dave, we're talking about driving
like
in a car.
Do you mean like a strip that you like drive down?
Yeah, but like it was a thing where people just circled in like a specific.
No, we didn't.
You didn't have that in your hometown?
We play video games. I don't know. Well, like,
so did we.
I'm sure some people did before that, but we didn't bother doing
that. Oh my God.
We also were not popular or had a potential to be popular and went to a very small school. So I don't even know if we knew where people were gathering to do that.
You're saying that it could have been happening without you, but you didn't know about it.
That's.
I mean, I want to be very clear. Me and my friends did not do the cruise, but it was a thing. And it was a thing in every other rural city that I knew about. Just a spot in the city where teenagers would just drive around in circles and then occasionally park and make out. And it was just a thing to do because you didn't have anything else
to do. I think the important thing here is that my town was rural compared to Chicago, but a fairly robust town compared to what you clearly grew up with.
How big was it?
It was like 27,000, and then I had a sister city that was like 10 or 12 or something like that. But we were like the hub for Southeast Iowa.
It was only 27,000 people?
Yeah.
I mean, my hometown was like 90,000.
We had like the mall and the hospital. Like it was all, really?
Yeah. So
and you had all of these experiences?
We were also
you lived in Oklahoma.
Big, but not big.
Anyway, I don't have any idea where that would be. I just, when I think of a cruise, I think of a place where you don't have to stop. And we just had lots of stoplights.
Yeah, that was what was stupid, as there were stoplights along this cruise too. Anyway, we did not do it. Anyway. I did not cruise. I did not partake of the cruise. We can do the best album for cruising at another date.
I think that might have a different definition than you think it does. Are you a thrill seeker?
I would call myself a thrill seeker, sure. Why?
Well, I'm just curious, this type of like high-speed chase, does that sound fun to you? Or does it sound stressful?
Oh, I was thinking thrill seeker as in like, I like roller coasters and I've gone skydiving, that kind of thrill. Like,
yeah, I have not done skydiving.
I don't know that I would be thrilled about being in a high speed chase if like it felt dangerous, like it felt like unsafe. I don't know.
What if you were the one doing the chasing?
Oh, well, then they deserved it.
Does that
obviously
sound fun?
If I'm chasing, there's got to be a good reason for it. So I'm just like giving myself credit, patting myself on the back a little bit.
Fair enough. Let's go ahead and jump into our picks, because I feel because we've been off for a little while, my list of what we're listening to this week might be 60 minutes long in and of itself. Why don't you kick us off? What was your pick for best album for a high-speed chase?
I picked the album Fat of the Land by The Prodigy. I actually have a lot of nostalgia for this album. Were you into this album when it came out?
Oh, yeah. This was like that whole Chemical Brothers experience
where
I got really into 90s
right
electronica.
Around that time, that's for sure. I think we talked about this before. I got into electronica because it felt like the thing you did in that. It was so part of the culture in that era. And it's weird that it's not anymore. Like, it's like genuinely weird because it just felt like, oh, this is a genre of music that's going to stand the test of time now. But The Prodigy were a big part of that, and Fat of the Land was so big at the time. I just remember the videos from this playing, especially Breathe. All the time on MTV back in the day.
Is Breathe, is it Firestar? Firestar is the one where they're in like the tunnel, right? Or like the sewer?
Wait. I feel like both of them were in like some kind of dungeon sewer like experience.
Yeah.
A Firestarter was like black and white. I remember the video was like black and white.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to call the first song Smack My B Up because I can't bring myself to call it anything else. But I remember that video very clearly, like the reveal at the end that it was a woman like that.
Oh, no, I don't remember the video for that one. That's fascinating.
They only played it like late night on MTV because it was, you know, so controversial.
Yeah. I remember Breathe the most being like the most prevalent out of all of them, but I probably loved Firestarter more in terms of what I got into. And then later, like Mindfields was on the Matrix soundtrack, and I remember listening to that a lot. But there's really, this is one of those albums that start to finish, I really don't do a lot of skipping, which is weird for a 90s electronic, like something that I didn't really stand the test of time for me. But when I go back to it, I'm still really into it and it's super fun.
So full disclosure, this is also my pick this week, but because I'd already done the episode on the Chemical Brothers, I decided to go a different direction. So when you said that you were going to choose this for High Speed Chase, I was thrilled because this is objectively the right
album. Right, and we came to that decision separately. So this is actually the best album for this situation because we separately chose it.
I think that there's something about the pulsating. Clearly, electronic music could lend itself to High Speed Car Chases. But when it gets too like abstract, or I don't know what the right word is, where the rhythms are all over the place, that actually pulls me out of the High Speed Chase. And then I'm like stressed out about it. I can't get into a rhythm. Whereas Prodigy is, they're pushing boundaries, but they're definitely like, they have a groove that they settle into.
For sure.
You can listen to the whole record and stay in roughly that same
maybe
groove.
With the exception of the Smack My B Up theme with the woman going, like that part I find a little distracting.
But even that part, I feel I can imagine like that slowed down moment of the High Speed Chase.
Before because it comes back in so heavy and awesome.
Yeah.
But I remember when I first was listening to this album, that part really annoyed me. I was like, oh, God, here's the weird woman singing again.
I remember discovering this record had so many connections to other bands that I love. Like there's a Breeders sample that's in Firestarter. Nice. That's pretty prominent. Like it's kind of the main sample of that song. And then Feel My Fire. Did you know that's an L7 song?
No. So like they covered it. Oh, that's fun.
They did. Prodigy covered L7. Yeah. So discovering like all this stuff, like there's a, is it Funky Shit where they have a Beastie
yes,
Boys drop?
Funky Shit is the cover. It's what's his name saying that line. And I remember when I actually heard this album and then I went back and I was listening to Ill Communication and I heard that and I was like, oh my God. And I like recognized it. Super fun.
This is such a great record. I listened to Dig Your Own Hole more, but Fat of the Land just played on a loop for me for a long stretch. I love this record. I actually, this is really stupid. So we made it's not stupid. It's just like, I don't even know how to begin describing what I'm about to describe. So for a history class, we had to put together some kind of video production of whatever topic we were given. And the topic we were given was the atomic bomb. And I wanted to be a filmmaker. We were just like messing around as friends. And so we had this whole elaborate subplot in our atomic bomb history video where I think like I had the codes to how to release a nuclear bomb and I had to like race across town as fast as I could to get rid of them. Or maybe there's a bomb in my car that was going to explode. I'm not sure exactly. But in the video, if we go back and watch it, which of course only I have the opportunity to do, I'm like driving my car as fast as I can and my buddies are filming it, or we're like in my car and somebody's filming me driving as fast as I can down my like, you know, cul-de-sac little neighborhood. And Firestarter is the soundtrack of the whole video. So constantly every time we go back to me driving as fast as I can, it's Firestarter. And I love that. I love that little piece of, I don't even know if I'm going to include this because that was this, I don't know how to create context for this story, but Firestarter was the soundtrack of a High Speed Chase for me as a 16-year-old, as much as it is now.
Yes. That's awesome. also, side note, speaking of not including this, Do you find in an Apple Music, like sometimes you'll go back and you'll want to listen to an album that you have listened to before and that is in your library, but then it's like, add this album. And you're like, what the fuck? I know I have this album already.
Is it because you have another version of it added?
Maybe, but like how many fucking versions of a 1997?
There are two. If I scroll down to the bottom of it, there's two.
Expanded edition?
Yeah.
No, I definitely don't have that one in my album. In my, I'm just like, I'm annoyed. That, and then it'll be like in my recently added. And I'm like, I know I didn't recently add this. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
Apple Music's the worst. Leave that in. It's funny because I would expect that Beastie Boys' Sabotage would be the soundtrack to that. Maybe it's there's literally isn't there literally a high speed chase in that video? Maybe that's why it's stuck in my mind.
There's so much going on in that video, but I don't think they ever actually are in a high speed chase. But certainly they like pull up.
Yeah,
in the car.
Yeah. That might be what I'm thinking of.
What do you think it was about the Prodigy that really grabbed the nation's attention? I would say of all of those bands that were part of that moment, the Prodigy to me stands out as the one that most broke through.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I mean,
what do you think it was? Like, was it Keith Flint's voice? What was the alchemy that they had that made them the one that popped the most?
Keith Flint definitely has a unique voice. And we've talked about how unique voices tend to pop and just for whatever reason, catch people's attention more. But also, I think he had a very unique look. The tattoos and the rings and like, remember the videos? He just came off as insane in those videos. And I think that people were super into it and thought it was really interesting and edgy. I remember of all the things I listened to in my room that my parents didn't get, I listened to a lot of shit, rap music, Nine Inch Nails, all this stuff.
Like out loud, not on headphones, but like
out loud on my stereo. And I feel like the one that bothered them and like they didn't get the most was Prodigy. They just could not get with this like electronic, but like in a dark and mysterious way, like Breathe or that. I mean, like just such a classic melody.
Yeah. Yep.
No, they couldn't get. They were like, what is this? You know, they kind of took a not this again kind of approach to it. And,
sure,
you know, like to youth culture, that is an appealing sentiment to be able to cause in your parents.
So I guess my next question is, what is it about this record that even 20 some years later, it has not been topped as the best album for a high speed chase? Like, why is this album so clearly the right pick for a high speed chase?
Do you think that this album is the kind of quintessential 90s electronica album? I guess that's my question is, was this where the genre peaked?
It's tricky because 90s electronica went in lots of different directions.
Right.
And so you have the origins of popular electronica, like the Massive Attacks, the Portishead's. You have this subculture that ultimately became the most important ones of Aphex Twin, Artecra, whatever. And then you have the super popular ones like Chemical Brothers, Prodigy. Mm-hmm. And they feel like they have nothing in common. Like one of the tricky parts about electronica is that it is such a wide-ranging thing. It's like how jazz encompasses Miles Davis and Kenny G. It's just, it's almost really too wide-ranging of a
analogy.
Thing.
I mean, I guess I always thought of electronic music as more of the like Aphex Twin or like lyricless, melodic, like the electronic version of classical music. I know that's a terrible analogy, but you know what I'm saying. And electronica as like the more poppy, like it's still really electronic beat driven, but there's a lot of kind of lyricism and like things you can sing along to. And I think this is probably the pinnacle for me, at least, of that.
Yeah, that's interesting. The sing-along to piece is, I guess there's not that many, maybe half these tracks have lyrics. Is that right? Obviously.
I think they all have lyrics. It's just some of them are a lot more repetitive or like clearly meant to be like supporting the melodies and the beats versus the opposite.
But I guess I still don't understand why this is like in my heart so clearly as a high speed chase record. You know, I think about like Crystal Method. Maybe it's because it never lets up. Like there are other electronic albums like Propeller Heads or you know, Crystal Method, whoever, from not necessarily exactly that era, but around that era, that all have tracks that feel like they'd be on the soundtrack to a high-speed chase. But they all have slow moments or like chill moments. And this one doesn't.
Yeah.
The Prodigy just like punched you in the face and then kept punching. It was never really a breath. There's just very little breath in this album.
I mean, I think it's that combined with it's just, it's the peak of rebellion. like it's everything from Keith Flint's look to the lyricism here is all about like, look at me, I'm a rebel. You know, like yes. Or
just growling.
But it's just in your face. I'm going to have this rebellious attitude combined with the like nonstop beats and pulsating like fastness of this that I think made it my first immediate, oh, it's obviously got to be this for a high-speed chase. Because in a high-speed chase, that's the two things you have. You're clearly rebelling slash running from the law.
Interesting.
And
yeah, for sure.
You're going fast. Right? That feels like right in this genre.
I think, yeah, and I need a little bit, I think my music a little unhinged for a high-speed chase because I need to not stop and think about, oh my gosh, what have I done?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why did I do this high-speed chase? Now you just have to see it through. Like, you're in it. It's time. You just have to go until you've lost your pursuer.
Unhinged is a great way to describe this album. It's like a controlled unhingedness.
It totally is. It totally is. Well, let me make a pitch to you for one other potential best album for a high-speed chase, and that is the Reverend Horton Heat's It's Martini Time from 1996. Do you know this band at all?
I honestly didn't remember them until you flagged this, and then when I went back and was listening to it, I remembered some of these tracks. But yeah. I just love... Can we just stop and reflect on the fact that you chose an album called It's Martini Time for High Speed Chase. It's like, let's pick one of the most relaxing, laid back kind of activities.
Well, and interestingly, I think that in order for this to work as a high speed chase album, you have to skip the track It's Martini Time. Like, you can put the whole record on, except for you have to skip track 3, the title track.
It's Martini Time.
I think for a short chase, like that 1-2 punch of Big Red Rocket with Love and Slow are just as good as it gets. And then 4 to 6 are essentially perfect. And I guess if you're still in the chase by the end of track 6, like that trick is appropriately titled Time to Pray. And I feel like if you're still in this chase by the end of track 6, but this, so for people who don't know this, and I'm sure there are many, this was adjacent to that whole weird swing era. That neo swing era that happened in the 90s that we've all agreed to forget.
Yes,
and we've all agreed to, you know, have collective amnesia about. So there was this swing revival kind of centered around the movie Swingers, although it was happening a little bit before that too. But I think that movie really brought it into the mainstream.
I always think of that movie as like the movie happened because of the revival, not necessarily the revival happened because of the movie, if that makes sense.
But I think that it getting its tendrils all the way into like small town Iowa and Oklahoma had a lot to do
probably,
with Swingers.
Yeah, probably. I loved that movie, by the way. It's so
I love that movie too. There is this, you know, this small moment in time where bands like Big Bad Voodoo Daddy and the Brian Stetzer Orchestra and Cherry Poppin' Daddies and the Royal Crown Review were all making really fun kind of jazz
like
revival
ridiculous
music.
When you say it back to back like that, it's like, how is that a thing?
Interestingly, when I was growing up, my local AM radio station had a jazz show, I think on Saturday mornings, maybe Sunday mornings. And my dad knew the host. And so the host, this little old lady who was super cool, she smoked like a pack of cigarettes every couple hours. She brought me on as a guest and I just played for her audience all of these neo swing albums because I was in jazz band. And so I felt like this is my music. Like suddenly jazz music is popular again. And I got really into it, even though I didn't care about the dancing part of it or anything like that. I was just really into this little stretch of time. So the swing era really got itself into me and then immediately let go. Like I super don't care about it. What was your experience of this weird moment in time? It kind of lasted from like 96, early 97 through like this Gap ad that happened in 98 and then this just kind of ended. What was your experience?
I remember the Gap ad.
Of that.
I remember Swingers. I think I have a hard time with is this is also the ska era and separating out the ska from the Swingers is like very, they're both kind of like thrown into my head.
Yes. The Mighty Mighty Boss Tones
era.
Yes,
100%. Yeah. And I was never really into either. But I remember having friends that were, and I don't know, I guess a appreciating that it was happening from a distance, but never really, it was never my thing.
Yeah. So the truth is, though, is that Reverend Horton Heat is not part of that necessarily. They were kind of swept up in that experience.
Yeah.
But they are far more of this like rockabilly, psychobilly band that was kind of happening on its side.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It felt a lot more rockabilly for me.
This album is gritty and occasionally unhinged. It's kind of surf music. Like that's probably like it's bread and butter, but then there's lots of other genres that they're playing with as well. The rhythm section on this, on both of these songs are so wild. And this whole album is so wild.
Made up my mind a long time ago.
They have this big stand-up double bass that's going like 100 miles an hour. I think one of the things that stands out to me about this band is that their drummer is very punk. Like the types of drums he's playing are not like old rockabilly drums. It's definitely like, you know, thrash punk drums. And so this alchemy comes together where they're playing this kind of surfer music, and it sounds to me kind of like what you'd hear on like Baby Driver. Like I thought about something like The Meters or something like that for this topic, but that just doesn't have like the forceful thrust of something like Prodigy. And so Reverend Horton Heat does though. Reverend Horton Heat like grabs you and goes 100 miles an hour, and I just love it. It's Martini Time, their breakout. They had previous albums who I just love the names of, like the Full Custom Gospel Sounds of Reverend Horton Heat. But then those albums, which are also wonderful, the production is just a little less punchy, especially like the bass.
Yeah.
And so I don't think they work quite as well. But for this full wild car chase thing, It's Martini Time gets my kind of runner up vote as I'll throw it out there as a best album for. And I think that James Heath, who's the singer songwriter, he's such a street preacher. Like when you see him perform live, like he'll just take the audience with him wherever he wants to go and kind of go on these like long monologues. And his voice also, I think, evokes something to me of like the Deep South somehow. Like it feels like this kind of Oklahoma street preacher. And that brings us back to Dukes of Hazzard, which I really love. Like that's, I think in my mind, Dukes of Hazzard is my prototype for a high speed car chase. Probably because it's the first high-speed car chases that I watched before I was like watching
for
movies.
Sure.
I was watching Dukes of Hazzard reruns.
Dukes of Hazzard, car chase every single episode because they had to feature the car.
Yep.
Because the car was, who's it, the Reverend or the General Lee, right? Wasn't that the
General Lee? That's right.
The car was called and had a big Confederate flag.
Which is funny because I bet you can't name any actors from that show.
I will admit that like, when you sent me that this was going to be your pick or your runner-up pick, I was like, what? And then, and then I put it on and Big Red Rocket of Love. Immediately, I was like, oh, yeah, okay, I can see this.
Mind you, the mountains above, it's low. My Big Red Rocket of Love.
So I'm super excited that we finally got to talk about the swing era. I don't suspect we'll ever come back to it, but that era was so weird and wonderful. And I actually do like ska bands. One of my very favorite bands is kind of ska adjacent. And so we might get back into ska.
That wouldn't surprise me. What does it say that we basically chose two albums that their genres had a moment in the 90s? And
yeah,
then
I was thinking
away
about that too.
I don't know what that's about. We don't have any good high speed chases now. So it was just in that era that we needed high speed chase.
I tried to find a modern high speed chase record, and I came up short. I stopped around the mid 2000s or like 2005 or so was the last great high speed chase record that I could pull up.
Yeah,
so
I can't think of any either. We're way too chill now.
Yeah, so such a chill society.
Things are just so easy.
Because it's either we're really chill or we're like super avant-garde. And that doesn't work either because, as previously stated, you have to be in a groove.
Yeah.
Like the groove is a really important part of the high speed chase. So what were some of your honorable mentions for this stuff?
I was definitely looking back at some Beastie Boys for this, maybe even some other rap albums, but they weren't fast-paced enough for me to really want them. And so there's a couple of indie albums I was looking at, like Right Thoughts, Right Words, Right Action by Franz Ferdinand. But it didn't keep that like same beat that I necessarily wanted.
But they definitely have tracks that would be on 100%. The
playlist. 100%. Yeah. Oh, Yeah's was definitely on my list of could be potentially a great high speed chase album. But again, it's...
Which album?
Either Fever to Tell or... God, why am I... My brain is not working. What's the Bones one? Show Your Bones. But the problem is that I didn't feel like either, again, were consistent enough with the energy. Hmm. And it's funny because I actually like the albums better because of that. Like, I usually like want variety in my energy, and I want songs that are up and down. And so it's actually works against them for this specific use case that they are, they do have that kind of variety.
So our feedback to the IAS is, if you want to be the soundtrack of a high speed chase, you're going to have to get it together. Just put out at least an EP of all fast paced songs.
Yeah.
There was a bunch of things that I thought about. McCluskey Do Dallas, of course, we talked about them a little bit before. White Zombie, The Meters, as I brought up, that whole like Motown or like funk music from the 70s. I thought about Sonic Youth's Goo because it has that sort of propulsive, constantly moving guitar, but it just feels a little too all over the place. I thought about The Distillers or At the Drive-In. And the one that I was closest to picking was DMX's Hell Is Hot.
Awesome.
But I think similar to the IAS, as much as that album is like forceful and he is a guy who doesn't ever go less than 100 miles an hour, it actually has a lot of slower and, you know, like more, I don't know if it's darker, what the right word is exactly. I'd have to go back and listen to it again to find out how, or figure out how to phrase it. But it just didn't fit the high speed car chase.
Yeah.
But I thought about if you threw on any random popular DMX song or DMX single, that would certainly get me in the mood to run from the cops. I don't know what that says. Sorry, DMX.
I feel like he'd want you to run from the cops, to be honest.
Fair enough. I'm curious about canon. Are either of these records in your canon? Certainly, Reverend Horton Heat is not in my canon.
Yeah, I think Prodigy would probably be in my canon, Fat of the Land.
Nice.
Yeah, how about you?
I don't think so. I loved this in the moment, and I occasionally return to it, but I don't return to it all that often. I think that its rewards are pretty on the surface, and if I go back to Numb over and over again, I want to discover new things. So if I'm in the mood for Fat of the Land, then nothing else can quench that mood. But I never find myself wanting to return to it just to discover the hidden depths.
Yeah, it's probably the same for me, but I think the reason why it makes my canon is I like canon albums to be listenable from front to back. And this is still to this day when I put it on, I can just put it on and listen to it from front to back and be happy entire time that it's on.
And I find a different song that becomes my favorite every time that I listen to it. So that's something.
Totally.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've been off for a while. So my list of what we're listening to lately is very long. And I don't want to like.
We're basically doing a Q1 episode on it. What were we listening to in Q1? Of this year.
We could actually just do a special Q1 episode, like maybe a 20-minute bonus episode or something. But I guess because it's been a while, just full disclosure, lots of things came up and we had to pause a little bit and retool. And we're kind of, I think, back now every other week moving forward. But certainly when we were planning to record this, the Smiles Wall of Eyes was like the most important record of the year for me. And now I'm like, it's not that I don't want to talk about it. It's just that I've been living with it for a couple months and I'm not as excited about it today as I was.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to come back to things like The Smile and Brittany Howard and, you know, Jolado Negro, people like that, when we do our best albums of the first half of the year. And I'm just going to talk today about my favorite record of the year so far, which is a band that's going to force me to pronounce their name.
I have been looking forward to this.
On a podcast that my kids might listen to someday. And so I'm very mad. This is the name they chose. But this album is as good as it gets.
Good.
I've listened to this album so many dozens of times. And I keep finding more to go back to. It's hard to believe something else is going to be my album of the year besides this one. And the album is I Got Heaven by Mannequin Pussy. Who I've been a fan of for many years. And haven't known like how to add it to my Apple Music because I don't want it to pop up when my kids are scrolling through. But this album is so good. They definitely took a leap in their songwriting. I think that the way that they're playing back and forth with their loud punk roots and their melodic, almost like harmonic or angelic choruses sometimes are just so great. And then there's songs like okay that
just go
are so crazy and fun, and I can't get enough. I keep coming back to this record. Highest recommendations. And I wish you had a different name, because I'm gonna have to say this name on the year-end list. I'm gonna have to say this name on the halfway through list.
Oh, it's so good, though. If we're not going to talk about Brittany Howard and Helado Negro, because I agree, those are going to make it on my end of your list as well as The Smile, probably. The Mannequin Pussy, there, I just said it too, is definitely up there for me. It's been in heavy rotation. And it's funny because the other album I'm going to say that's in heavy rotation for me today is maybe in terms of its energy, the exact opposite of this, which is the new Waxahachie, Tiger's Blood.
Oh, I've been wanting to check it out. Is it great?
It's so good. Yes. And it's like, again, the exact opposite energy. It's basically like indie folk with a country twang. It's not like, you know, but it's got...
I actually was surprised that you love it, given your distaste for Wednesday.
I talked about this with Caroline, and every once in a while, something hits for me just right that has a kind of Southern drawl to it. And Waxahachie, for some reason, has always been that for me. Like, it's never bothered me when it's her. I don't know. Don't ask me. But Right Back to It is probably one of my favorite songs of the year. It's just, she just did an amazing live version of that on Colbert the other night with MJ Lenderman, who sings backup on that, who was also on the live version, which was awesome. But like, similar to the Mannequin Pussy album, actually, like every single that came out, I loved, and it made me like really look forward to the album. And then the album didn't disappoint. Yeah. That very similar for this. Every single that came out, I was like, oh, this is going to be so good. And the album is amazing. So highly recommend. This is much more put on around your kids friendly.
Yes, fair enough. I actually think that the music, you know, is fine on the other record.
Yeah. It is what it is. Yeah, yeah. We're going to go see Waxahachie live at the Salt Shed in a few weeks, which is going
to
be fun.
Oh, that's fun. That's great. Yeah. That's awesome. I tried to get tickets to the... Mannequin Pussy show, but it's been sold out for a long time, and I'm really bummed because Soulglow is opening for that.
Oh, Soulglow, that would be such a, cool such band a great back and forth. Oh, be man, so cool. That'd be an awesome show.
All right, well, just to throw a couple things out there, if you're, you know, kind of catching up on music, I love the new Faye Webster album. I really love the Schoolboy Q. It took me a minute to get into it.
Oh, yeah, so you did come around to it. Okay, I'll have to keep listening to it then.
The new Fortet is great. And then the big one, so I have spent a lot of time this year listening to Alice Coltrane, like the
interesting
harp, you know, John Coltrane's widow. They just remastered the Carnegie Hall concert that was performed around the time that Journey and Sasha Denanda came out, which is a record that I've discovered mostly for the first time this year. And it has just blown my mind, and I've been listening to it on constant repeat. That's one other one that I'd recommend people check out. And I don't know if I'm willing to put a re-release or a remaster of something from so many years ago on a year-end list, but this Alice Coltrane record is really wonderful.
Nice.
And then one last thing, I am going to put together a playlist. It's on Apple Music right now, and we're going to put it on Spotify hopefully too, just where I can add songs that I'm enjoying this year. They're not going to be in any particular order. I'm just going to throw them on there so people can listen to them and stay current with that. Caleb, I think we can collaborate on that. And you can also add some songs if you're interested. So we'll put a link out to that in Instagram and in other places.
I was actually surprised when you sent that to me that how many of your songs I didn't have. And obviously vice versa, because I also make a 2024 playlist every year. So I'm going to add a ton of stuff that'll be new for you. And then I got to go back and listen to your stuff too. So it'll be fun.
That sounds great. So I'm just doing singles for now. You know, full albums obviously is our bread and butter, but on this particular playlist called Best Music for 2024.
Nice.
And check it out. All right. Well, thanks everybody for joining us once more. Hopefully we're back in regular rotation now because we missed you and we missed recording. We will see you next week. As always, hit us up on Instagram. Let us know what we got right, what we got wrong, what your nominations are for Best Album for High Speed Chase, and what you're listening to right now that you want us to check out. See you guys soon.
Thanks, everybody.